Okay, so thank you again, Osprey, for having me. My name is Blessing Ingape, and I am a dyslexia coach. I work along those lines with children who have dyslexia. I'm currently the founder of Dyslexia Help Africa and the program director of Dyslexia Help Learn Academy. They are both organizations that cater to individuals with dyslexia and also creates awareness around Africa generally on what dyslexia is. And I want to thank you so much for having me on this podcast because this is one of the platforms and ways that we're able to tell people more about what dyslexia is. So thank you once again for having me.
Thank you so much. The first time I heard about dyslexia, it was from you on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I never knew what it was, and I'm sure there are some people like me out there who would like to know what dyslexia means and some of the signs, how to recognize. Could you please tell us what dyslexia means?
Okay, so dyslexia is a condition that makes it hard for an individual to read. So I'm just going to try as much as possible to put it in simple terms. So it's a condition that makes it hard for an individual to read. And usually this is because of the way that the brain are wired. So we can say it is a neurological condition or a neurobiological condition that affects an individual's ability to read well. Although dyslexia is focused more on reading, individuals or children who have dyslexia struggle with more than reading. Yes, they can struggle with comprehension and struggle with learning new things or basic things, as we may say. But when you talk about dyslexia, I would like to say the foundational problem usually stems from an individual's ability to know their sounds and their inability to manipulate those sounds. So I would say it starts with just basic sounds. Someone's inability to know the basic sounds, put them together to make words or blend. And then as help is not given, it begins to move into larger learning difficulties where the child is now no longer struggling with only reading, but they're struggling with comprehension because if you can't read, you can't comprehend. And then low self-esteem steps in, and then behavioral issues and lots of things begin to happen. But in summary, it is a condition that affects an individual's ability to read. And I always love to add that an individual who has the ability to be a better reader, because that's always the paradox. You see someone and you're like, no, you're too smart. I mean, you should be able to read. But this individual can't read. So usually it is a reading difficulty in an individual that has the ability to be a much, much better reader. So you also mentioned about signs. I don't know if you want me to go into that already.
Yes, please.
Okay, so when you talk about some of the dyslexia signs, we've already mentioned one here, which I said that the individual finds it hard to read. So, an individual who has dyslexia will struggle a lot with reading, especially for children. Most times, when it's adults, you might not even know. Like, I have this friend who is dyslexic. I didn't even know the struggles she was going through until she told me that, look, before I pronounce this word, this is what I did. This is what I did. What has happened for her over time is that she has found a strategy that works for her. So although she struggles with it, she's able to find a way to cover up, and we're not able to know. So individuals or children who have dyslexia, definitely they struggle with reading. And then, as I also mentioned when I was talking about the definition, the struggle with knowing letters, the names of letters, the struggle with knowing the sounds these letters make. And usually that is always the beginning of the problem if help is not given. These kids begin to suffer more when it comes to learning how to blend, learning how to read, comprehending what they are being taught, and then it escalates to a general learning difficulty. You also find that children who are showing red flags for dyslexia struggle a lot with learning songs and rhymes. So I'm talking about academics now, from when they are younger to when they grow up. So at this tender age, you realize that kids in kindergarten who should be able to sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, they're having issues with, yes, that rhyme, as simple as it is. And other rhymes, twinkle, twinkle, little star, you're just wondering, why is it so hard for this child to be able to know these simple things? Because in nursery school, these are things that children just know. You know, you don't go through so much to teach them. Or you can, something as simple as roll and pop or clap. You realize that the child is clapping after everyone has clapped, or is never just getting it. So you notice some of those signs when they are in kindergarten. And then one other sign again is that the swap letters that look the same. Yes, so they might swap P for B either when reading or when spelling. They just swap those letters that look familiar. Then they also struggle to remember things that they have read or things that they have learned. Yes, and as they grow older, they begin to even struggle with words that they have learned. So they might learn a word now, you might teach them how to pronounce the word. In the next page, they have already forgotten what that word is, and they are struggling.
Wow.
Yes, so these are some of the things they struggle with. They also struggle with messy handwriting. Yes, most kids who also have dyslexia can struggle with their handwriting, can struggle with penning their thoughts down. So I've worked with kids that are very outspoken, you know, very bold, confident, but then when it's time to write, it's a very big problem. We had this particular child that came in. She was 9 then, very outspoken child. In fact, she walked up to me and introduced herself and said, "My name is, what is your name?" I was so impressed. And the parents were like, yes, they're always so impressed too, but that, can I imagine, this child cannot write her name. And then when it's time to write anything, it's such a big problem. In fact, if she can't write her name, then we shouldn't even be talking about other things that she can't write. Yes. So these are some of the few signs that you notice with children with dyslexia. And I would like to mention that one major thing again to look out for is that they are extremely intelligent. Most of them extremely or averagely intelligent. So, and that is where the problem comes in, because people are like, you cannot be this intelligent and you don't know how to read. So they'll think beating will work, punishments will work, because the child is, let's call it streetwise. The child is smart, the child is intelligent. So people just wonder, they say, no, this child is pretending. It's not that the child doesn't know how to read, it's not dyslexia. So I can go on and on, but let me pause here.
Well, thank you so much for breaking things down.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
I grew up in a community. It's a small place. I think we were about 5 families, and we had one girl who always had problems with learning songs. Like she was considered a slow learner, and what her mom used to do then was like keep her secluded, because the other neighbors would be like, "But we taught you with every other person, but we did this. It's standing." Oh God! Wow.
So that most likely would have been the problem.
Thank you so much. Let's move on to the next question. What do you think are the possible causes of dyslexia? Because the first time I heard about this condition, I was like, could it be genetic? Could there maybe a maternal complication somewhere? What really causes it?
Okay, so research has been able to tell us two things that are most likely the cause of dyslexia. Now, that already tells that they don't really know what the cause is, right? Yes, but at least two. So one, you mentioned that already, genes. So it's been researched that individuals who have dyslexia are most likely to have children who are dyslexic. Okay. So if you are dyslexic, then most likely if you have children, they might be, maybe one, maybe all, you never can tell. You know, I have a friend who's dyslexic, and while she had her baby, she was just preparing. She was like, I'm getting ready. I want to homeschool my child the first few years because this child might be dyslexic. Well, I'm not praying that he should be dyslexic, but just in case I want to be ready. So that's possible. And then also, when you look at the picture of the brain of an individual that has dyslexia and an individual that is non-dyslexic, you realize that there is a difference. So that already tells us that the brain of an individual with dyslexia is wired differently. Yes, so one, the genes, and then two, the way the brain is wired. And I always love to add that, in fact, when I'm running trainings and we're talking about the signs for dyslexia, I love to start with the strengths, because dyslexia sure does have strengths. But most times we focus more on the inability to read. But I love to say it comes in a package. The individual might be struggling with reading, but then because of the way their brain is wired, they are also super good at things they put their hearts to do. And that is why I'm sure you hear very popular dyslexics who are gifted and talented. Yeah, so the way the brain is wired that makes them struggle to read is the same way it gives them strength for other things. And I'm happy we're having this on your podcast, because people need to realize that, yes, this individual might be struggling with reading, but there are other amazing things they are good at, that they are good with. And if we're able to help them, now it's not that they can't learn how to read, but what usually happens is that they learn how to read differently. And that is the conversation that most people don't want to have, because this is how I teach and this is how I want to teach. But then you have a child who is different, who is neurodivergent and learns differently. And that's why you always also hear me say that dyslexia is not a learning problem. It is more of a teaching problem, because if you teach that child right, they will learn how to read. Yes.
Wow. Wow. I attended a training a month ago when they talked about neurodivergence and how to incorporate this in our teachings.
That's great.
Yes. So I'll move on to the next question now. How can children... Because I know that you teach dyslexia. So what ways can dyslexia be helped to learn? How can they learn?
Okay.
How can people around teach them?
Okay. Okay, all right. So first, it's important to know that they can learn. And that's why I always say there are no limits. Every child can learn. I don't care how worse you think the situation of your child is or of that student is. They have the ability to learn how to read. And the first thing is patience. You need to know that as the individual or the teacher or the parent, the caregiver that is teaching these children, you need to know that as you're working with them, you need to put on the armor cord patient, because you'll be needing it a lot. So that prepares you for the future. And then secondly, you need to be creative when it comes to teaching them. So one of the reasons why you need patience is because you might teach a thing and you might have to teach it over and over again because of the way their brain is wired. Most times the information is in the short-term memory. And you need to consistently teach and practice for it to move to the long-term memory. And then you also need to be patient, because sometimes you've taught something. I need to teach it another way for them to understand. And that is where creativity comes in. Wow. You need to teach them creatively. You can't just come and say A for apple, B for ball. You must have creative ways that engages their mind, because they are not abstract learners. So someone who is dyslexic want to know how did you get this? For instance, if the word, I love using the example of was, W-A-S. My students will always spell that word as W-O-S.
Oh.
And yes, and he will tell you that W-O-S, was. Was. If you say W-A-S, that's was.
Was. Yeah.
So I had to explain that, okay, buddy, English is crazy sometimes, okay?
Yeah.
So sometimes these are the rules. Sometimes you just have to cram the words, okay? And they'll be like, but why? I say, well, that's how it is. So you just have to learn it that way. So they don't work well with abstract. You want to be very creative with what you're teaching them. If you're teaching letters, you're teaching numbers, whatever it is that you're teaching them, you need to be creative. And one thing that will help you to be creative is using what we call the multi-sensory approach, where you're ensuring that you're engaging all of their senses. You're engaging the eyes, you're engaging tactile, which is the feelings, you're engaging the kinesthetic, meaning they are moving things around. So you want to ensure that you have a very creative classroom, or you have a very creative lesson. That really does help them. And then also you need to realize that with children who are dyslexic, the most time would need more time. Yes, so as a school, as a teacher, you need to find a way to factor that in. And also in teaching them, now we need to understand that dyslexia primarily is a reading problem. So most kids might not be able to read well, but it doesn't mean that they are not learning. Because in school, you have different subjects, right?
Yeah.
So they might be having issues with reading, but it doesn't mean they don't comprehend science. It doesn't mean they don't comprehend home economics, biology, or all of the other subjects we have. What limits them is the reading. So while you're working on them, while they're getting their reading intervention, you want to ensure that you're creating what we call accommodations.
Okay.
What that means is that in a biology classroom or in a science classroom or whatever it is that they are learning, you're creating platforms that they can access that topic, access that lesson beyond just reading. So one could be allowing them to record their class so that when they go back, they can listen to it. Another way is also during exams or assessments, beyond just writing their answers, can they tell you their answers? Because they might be unable to write it down, but they can tell you exactly what this is. So I always ask teachers, what exactly do you want? Pick your battles. Are you trying to find out if this child can write well, or you're trying to find out if this child understands the subject matter? Because when it comes to children with dyslexia, these are two different things. So accommodations will work for them. I was offering support for a child, and I'm happy that that school would allow her to take her device to school and record her classes. Of course, she was still practicing copying her notes, but she wasn't focused on her notes, because even the notes were copied wrongly. Like, I will see some of the spellings, they are wrongly spelled. So what would help her would be what she has recorded. And sometimes I would have to tell her to borrow a friend's note from school. She'll come over, I will read the note and then record it for her to listen during exams. And then for some of the papers, I would have to put my leg to the ground that she should be asked to say her answers, not only write them. So you need to be able to offer some of those accommodations. And during exams, you can read the exam questions to them while they tell you the answer. So while they are going through all of these accommodations, it's very important that they are also receiving intervention to know how to read. And that is where the science of reading comes in. And the International Dyslexia Association calls it the Structural Literacy Program, where children are taught how to read step by step. It is not a rush process. They start from the beginning of letters and sounds. They move forward to their vowels, their consonants. They move to the spelling rules. So this research-based program for reading has been said to work, and I've seen it work as well. It is research-based, it is used internationally, and it works for children. So for a teacher who has this child, I would say you need to also get trained in the science of reading, also known as the structural literacy program. For a parent, I would also advise that if you have a child who has dyslexia, you need to know what dyslexia is all about, and you also need to know more about this. And you can get these trainings on different platforms online.
Yes. Wow. Thank you so very much. There was this time I saw you talk about, was it cards? That you went to get cards from a shop for one of your students. I think, I guess, learning material.
Yes.
Students. So, like, you are in Nigeria, and what are their valuable resources that we can use to help children with dyslexia and their families, like in Nigeria and Africa?
Okay. Wow, the truth is, we're happy for the awareness that is coming on. It used to be way more difficult when I started, but I'm happy people are opening up, a few, and schools are also opening up. Because, like, for instance, when I graduated from my university, I really didn't know much about dyslexia. And I studied special education in school. So I came out as a professional, but I didn't really understand most of these difficulties and neurodiversities. So I had to get trained all over again. And I was just so happy that I met an amazing mentor who had gotten most of her training in the US. So I was able to learn a lot. I was able to take lots of courses online, opportunities that were open here and there, and did a few trips to go and learn. Wow. So accessing those resources can be quite difficult, but those opportunities are here now. So like I mentioned earlier, when it comes to teaching children with dyslexia, you need to be very creative. You might not be able to get all of these resources, but what worked for me when I started was creating the resources. So for instance, there was this reading program I wanted to start with, and enrolling for that reading program was going to cost me thousands of dollars, and then shipping the materials to Nigeria was going to cost some hundreds of dollars as well. And when I looked at it, I was like, oh my goodness, let's just go research this thing out and create these resources. So I had to create materials. For instance, when you talk about the multisensory learning, I wasn't only working with flashcards, but I worked with flashcards that are sort of rough. I got these shiny, rough glitters that I used for them. So that aside from just showing my students, they also feel it. And that was helping them learn better. It was helping them learn faster. It was helping them, you know, have a feeling of that in their brain that, oh, okay, this is A, you know. But I always recommend, I don't know if it's okay to recommend a website here for people.
Yeah, good.
So I always recommend www.handsonaswegrow.com. That website really did help me, because she's a mother that most homeschools her children. So most of those resources were very creative. So all I needed to do was tweak them and use them all over again. Yes, yeah, so that would be very helpful for you. And like I also said, you want to check out the Orton Gillingham system of program of teaching kids how to read. And that is one of the strategies I use, and it works a lot for these kids. And you'll find even much more out there that can work for the children you're teaching. Yeah. Yes, but I think when it comes to reading, you just need to be very creative with that. And of course, when it comes to teaching them the sounds, because you can't talk about teaching kids how to read without knowing the sounds, without knowing the spelling rules. You also need to be very informed and trained on that. And of course, that's not something I can do here on this podcast.
Yes.
But we want to look out for such trainings. And one of the centers I would also always recommend is the Cadet Academy, because they have, I got trained there as well. Yes. Yeah, so they have lots of trainings. Okay, so Cadet Academy, C-A-D-E-T.
Okay.
That's for Comprehensive Autism and Related Disabilities Education and Training. In fact, they have a training on learning disabilities coming up on Saturday that is free. Mm. Yes, so maybe after now I can send you the link. So I don't know if there's a way to connect it to this podcast or not, so that people can apply.
Yeah,
or rather can register, yes, to come learn more. Yes, but it's work, but it's work that can be done if you're passionate about helping kids and you're passionate about helping your child. Yes.
Wow. This is so enlightening. Another question I would like to quickly ask is, are there like some misconceptions about dyslexia? Because I think many people don't know about it and they could confuse it with something else. Are there some of those misconceptions?
Yes, there are, in fact, plenty. This is our Africa setting. I have seen and experienced plenty.
One,
the belief that they are possessed. Some people have this mindset that if at this age you're a teenager and you're still struggling with reading, then you're possessed. It is a spiritual issue. Yes, it's a witchcraft. Or in fact, I had this particular parent. I remember then I felt so bad for this child. She was just about 8 or 7 thereabouts. And I remember one of those sessions, she didn't come for her session. And that was because they were taking her for a deliverance service.
Oh.
So she can be delivered. Because how can you be 7 and you can't read? Your siblings can read, you cannot read, you don't know anything. So, and sometimes I just imagine what that child begins to think of themselves. You know, at age 7, you know, you're being taken for deliverance and from one prayer house to another.
Yeah.
I don't even want to imagine what that child grows up thinking about themselves. You know, maybe even as a grown woman, still going from prayer house to prayer house because they feel there's something they need to be delivered from.
Yeah.
So that's one. Others also feel they are lazy, like I mentioned earlier. I mean, because they are good in other things, but why is that when it comes to reading? You don't know how to read. You know all the cartoon characters. You know this one, you know that one. But when it comes to reading, you don't know how to read. You're being lazy, you're being stubborn. So there are some misconceptions that kids with dyslexia are just being lazy. They're just being naughty or stubborn. And then there's also this misconception that if the child has dyslexia, it's because the parent didn't do a good job. They were not reading to the child, or they didn't take care of their child, or they didn't take care of the pregnancy. You know, you handle preggy people. Like I mentioned earlier, it is basically gene and neurobiological. So it has nothing to do with what the mom did or did not do during pregnancy. If you're talking about that, that will not be another disability altogether. You're now beginning to talk about other disabilities. Then when we're talking about dyslexia, it has absolutely nothing to do with what the mom did during pregnancy or what the mom didn't do during pregnancy. Not at all. Or whether they read to the child or they did not read to the child. If a child is dyslexic, whether you're reading the entire book in this world for the child doesn't change anything until they receive a structured literacy program. And then others feel it's an eye problem. So since they are mixing up their letters, seeing P as D, maybe they need eyeglasses. It has absolutely nothing to do with eyeglasses. No, it doesn't. I always love to give an example of a chair. Like I mentioned, kids with dyslexia, most of them really don't work a lot with things that are abstract. So if I bring a chair now to you, Nurse Preggy, and I turn that chair upside down, does it change the name of the chair? It's still a chair, right?
Yes, it is.
Aha. So it's the same way. So if they have learned that this is how B is written, when B is turned the other way to look like a P, it still looks like a chair. So they're like, okay, this is still a B. Until you're able to let them know that, okay, so this is the difference. Can you spot the difference? They're like, oh, okay. And then over time, they will know the difference. But it's just the way the brain is wired most times. Yes. And yeah, so those are some of the that people have regarding dyslexia. Yes.
Yeah. All right. So finally on the show, what are the parents of children with dyslexia?
Okay, ask that question again.
What advice would you give to parents
with dyslexia? So parents, if all of these things I've mentioned, I feel like speaking pidgin. If all these things were done, why have you not spoken pidgin English since? I'm just realizing that. Let me bring my pidgin English game on. First, okay, let me go back to English first. I will come back later. So if all of these things I've spoken about today sound familiar to your child, first of all, I need you to know that it is not something to get frustrated or cry about. I know that in Africa, where we are, usually you don't get all the help you need, but if you're coming across this, then here is the... So one, you need to start researching to know all that you can about dyslexia. And that is because of the community, the nation where we are, where we don't have enough resources and professionals for this yet. But the good thing is that you have resources online. So you can learn lots and lots about dyslexia. It will really help in even knowing the kind of help that your child needs and knowing the things that your child is struggling with. And then after that, you can start looking for schools that can help your child. So now that you know what dyslexia is, now that you know the struggles your child is having, it is easier for you to find schools that can help your child. Usually, I would even recommend that if you're a parent that have the time, get this training so that you can even teach your child yourself for now, because that is what will help. Most times the schools will tell you, oh, we know what dyslexia is, or we can help your child. After you pay tuition, you realize that they don't know what dyslexia is. They are not helping your child. So, and then attend, when you start researching and attending all of these events, you're also going to meet with more professionals that know what you're going to do. Like the link I promised to give Nurse Pregi to put somewhere on this podcast. You can attend that event, learn more, ask questions, connect more with people. And if you're even in Abuja, we have a neurodiverse hub where you can work in, book an appointment to meet with a professional one-on-one and ask all of your questions. If you need recommendation for schools, if you need one-on-one intervention for your child, you can walk into that neurodiversity hub and you get all of the assistance that you need, all of the schools, the services that you need. I think I'll send all of those details to Nurse Pregi so that she can put it up for all of you. And if you're not in Abuja, there's no problem. You can call and you can be scheduled for a call so you can know more about this. So that's the few, that's what I can say now, because I know most the challenge that most parents have is that, okay, now that my child is dyslexia, what is the help? How can my child get this help? And the truth is, right now we don't have so much professionals. We're training as much people as we can, but we don't have so many of them yet. Most people that you have are in Lagos or in Abuja. And that is why I started running an online academy for children with dyslexia, because people call me from Abia, people call me from Nasarawa. And I was like, okay, you know what? Let's start working online for your child. And and interestingly, we've seen amazing results. Like the children even prefer the online learning. Because you know, children with dyslexia, they love creativity and all of that. So that's it.
Wow. Thank you so very much. And please, would like to know, what's the name of your online academy? Do you have a website? What are you using? how?
Okay, so try as much as possible, not to do the publicity so much. And why? Because we still need lots and lots of hands. So imagine I have 100 parents that are coming to me now, and we have just about how many teachers that are well trained. Yes, so we don't put that up on the website yet, but for people, for the purpose of this podcast, they can reach out to me. It is Dyslexia Help Learning Academy. Yes, you can look out for us on, I hide under the disguise of Dyslexia Help Africa on Facebook. Yes, so you can send me a personal DM and we can see how we can help you. Sometimes you might even have someone that we can connect you in the city where you are, and we can connect them with you.
So that's your Facebook community, right?
Yes, it's Dyslexia Help Africa. Now my Facebook community.
Wow, thank you so very much.
I am so happy. Thank you so much for having me here, for opening your doors for us to share dyslexia awareness. We are super excited on behalf of myself and the entire dyslexia community. We want to say we thank you well for this opportunity where you give us. May we come share this dyslexia matter. Next time when I come, I want to share this matter for Pidgin English.
You can tell us in one word for Pidgin English, waiting with dyslexia, for Pidgin English, for broken. Tell us waiting with dyslexia.
Hey, make I don't use words where they hear people use you. I don't be give you one word, but hey, Kai, no, not spreggy.
Okay.
I will have to go and look for that one word so that we give you. Man, no can use one word we are not supposed to use. But now we give me this thing, we give me an assignment. I'll go look for one word where we can use for person where they get dyslexia. Because now the words where they use, not the correct word. We hear people, they use words like mumu or de olodo. In fact, for my WhatsApp group of old association of secondary school students. Then they call me, say, I'll be Olodo teacher. like, exactly, Mumu teacher, person where they teach children, we know no book. So I'll go look for correct word we will use. But for now, baby, we'll just stay with dyslexia. For PJ, we'll pick call her dyslexia.
Thank you so much,
Nospreggy.
Thank you. We'll say bye-bye.
All right, bye to everyone. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.